Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Kathy back here and Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Oh yes, he is most definitely coming. Now the Lord's got a really important message that I need to give this morning. It's really important. It's really strong. And there's going to be a lot of mature, even mature brothers and sisters in Christ may not want to hear this because it goes against everything mainstream church land has taught us. There has been many years of brainwashing and wrong interpretation and wrong teaching. Okay. So I'm going to start with Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I literally just woke up, and the Lord asked me to get right up out of bed and start writing. It's really amazing because he's been saying this all along. So this is sort of, as I call it, an I could have had a V8 moment, if anybody ever saw that commercial. It was a commercial from back in the, probably the 70s or the 80s. Okay. So I've been seeking the Lord recently on why certain lying manifestations on the physical bodies of a very strong, on the physical body of a very strong, mature brother or sister hasn't yet, dissipated when they believe and know that they are lies and don't exist. Well, he gave me a bit of a review of what he has taught us. And then at the end, he makes his point to answer my question. Now, this is, I'm telling you right now, this is not, even what I just said is very much not what Churchland has ever taught everybody. But we have to, you know what? I'm just going to go right into it. Okay. First, he reminded me of Ephesians 6, that the strength we need to fulfill our call is not a physical strength. Though he will absolutely give us the physical strength we need to accomplish any assignments he gives us. But the strength we're building now is strength in faith. Okay. So the Lord wants me to bring you through what he just brought me through this morning. For myself personally, the Lord began to teach me what I'm sharing with you over the last 23 years, but especially the bulk of it over the last 10 years. Now, through lots and lots of trials in the physical, let me tell you, the Lord gave me many experiences in the natural that taught me the supernatural. And we're talking about relating to faith, guys, okay? In our lives and in the mainstream church land, man has taught that God swoops in and everything's fine. He jumps right in because he wants to, and he heals a person. There's no responsibility for the person other than believing that he can do that. Now, God is God. God can do whatever he wants. If he chooses to heal someone miraculously, he'll do that. But let me tell you something. In my 23 years of experience in healing and deliverance, that is very, very, very rare. And the only time that he has shown me that he does that type of miracle, and I'm talking about for someone who's more mature, okay, is when there might be people around that person who will come to him when they see that miracle. Or maybe the person was... maybe it's in relation to their faith building, or you know what I'm saying? It's all about faith, okay? Now, I want to clarify something real quick. It is very, I want to make sure you understand what I mean by rare. It is rare in my experience in ministry. It has been very rare. Now, there are places around the world, there are ministries in Africa who see miracles within, let me say it this way, not anymore because now we're in with the marked, but there in the past probably 20 years that I've been in, I've been in ministry for 23 years. So there has been many miracles in relation to things like raising the dead, that like really big miracles. There have been big miracles, okay? But I'm talking in regular everyday ministry that in my experience, it's very rare. That's what I want to make sure I clarify that. Okay. But most of the time, when the Lord decides to do a miracle like that, we don't see what happened in that person's heart that led up to that healing. We don't know that if that maybe God had already brought them through a series of trials that led up to that healing. We don't know that maybe he built their faith through trials or physical lying infirmities or whatever the case may be. And then because he had built their faith, maybe that healing was because they had already gone through all those trials to get to that healing. Do you see what I'm saying? But the thing is, what he's explaining to me is the why in these situations is not even the point. God being able to do a miracle like that is not the point of faith. Okay. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ walked the earth, he did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. So in this case, we can ask why. We can say, why, Lord? Why did Jesus heal and deliver so many people miraculously? When when he was walking the earth, why did he heal so many people miraculously? Many people take scripture and they twist it and turn it to either fit a doctrine, to make an excuse, or even to make themselves feel better. This is just a natural response of someone who is still in the learning process. In this case, of course, we're talking about being in the learning process in regard to faith. And what the Lord wants me to convey today is that we mature, the we who are mature in our walk with the Lord. In regard to us, he begins to build, when he's building our faith, he expects more. The more mature you get in faith, the more God steps back and he expects more. He expects you to stand in faith more. Okay? Now, when our Lord, out of his perfect love for us, walked this earth among his people who knew of him and worshiped him, but they didn't know him. See, this is, you have to remember his audience, okay? The people he was being an example to, the people he was witness, not witnessing, but the people he was performing these miracles around. They knew of him. They were his people who knew the Old Testament. They knew the law. They understood God could do miracles. Okay. He'd done miracles in the Old Testament. He parted the sea. He helped led them through the wilderness in a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. He had Elijah. He says, hey, line up, put a whole bunch of wood up there. He was proving himself, right, to these false prophets. I want you to put all this wood, and I want you to pour all kinds of water on it. Soak this wood in water. And then he makes this huge blaze out of sopping wet wood, right? Just out of nowhere makes this blaze. And then he brings Elijah in front of everybody. Elijah goes straight up to heaven before their eyes, spirit, soul, and body. And of course, the burning of the wet wood and Elijah going to heaven are two totally separate events, two separate miracles. I just want to make sure I clarify that. Okay, so they knew God can work these miracles, and they knew that they knew about him. Okay, they knew that he could do that. They believed and knew he could do these miracles, but they were not prepared to see what he could really do. So what the Lord was doing while walking the earth was demonstrating his love, his power, his authority, and his miracles. Not that he had to prove himself to anyone, obviously. But see, he had to demonstrate his power and authority to the people in his audience, which of course are some unsaved, but some were people. Now, they were all unsaved in Jesus Christ at that point, but some walked with him in the law. But there was some who were very new to all of this, okay? But the ones who walked in the law, they knew him, but they didn't know, they knew of him, but they didn't know him personally, okay? So that's the other part. He wanted to be known personally. This is why he came here. He wants you to know him personally. That's why he came. So when he's talking to these people, again, a quick clarification. He came here to die for our sins so we can be with him forever. That's the main reason why he came. But in the boundary of this teaching, the Lord is emphasizing that he also came because he wanted to show people that he is God. They wanted to show him his power and his authority and his love and his miracles. Who all they knew was the law. God didn't, God, the only way God could come to them was he had to bring the law to them. He had to bring his order to them. But when Jesus came, it was God in person, so they could get to know him personally. And they could learn of his power and authority and learn he is God. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why he did those miracles. That's why he did those miracles. Now, Churchland has taught us that the way Jesus healed is the way that it works. You know, hey, Jesus was simply our example, right? And that's just how he heals. And that all we got to do is believe that he can do it. And that's what he does. There's only one problem with that. That's not what the rest of the Word of God says. Jesus did not spend 3 years performing miracles to build up a church that just believes he can do miracles. What is that? You think he did all those miracles so that we could sit around and say, "Hey, Jesus, you can do a miracle, heal me." No, that's not why he did that. Okay. This is why he taught us. Basically, through the entire New Testament, he wanted us to walk by faith. Oops, sorry. He wanted us to walk by faith and not by sight. So you see, he was actually teaching us not to just walk around believing that he can heal us because he wants to. He was telling us through all those healings to know he is God. So it was knowing that he has the power and authority as the King of Kings and Lord of Kings to have, oh, let me say that again. He wanted us by his demonstrations of his power and authority to know he's God and to know he's the King of Kings. That was why he did those miracles. It was not to show us to sit back and say, oh, he can do a miracle and we don't have to do anything else except believe he can do that miracle. That's not why he did that. Okay. So yes, he was telling us through all those healings to know he is God, to repent of our sins, to receive him into our hearts, walk with him, to walk with him in personal, loving relationship with Jesus, and to ask him to help us grow stronger in our faith and to stop believing everything we see. Yes, he was actually teaching us not to believe everything we see. Even though he was doing it in front of the people, he was performing these miracles for them to see. But he wasn't teaching them to believe what they see. It's amazing. Like, this is what he was showing me. Churchland teaches everything you see. Believe everything you see, because that's all they can, they're comprehending it in man's understanding, not God's understanding. Okay. Whew. All right. Jesus is God. Okay. He doesn't need our faith for his own choice to miraculously heal someone. Think about this. God, our Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, he does not need us to believe that he can do a miraculous healing in someone for him to be able to do that. He doesn't need that. He doesn't. Because he's God. He can choose to do that anytime he wants to. This is so not what Churchland teaches, I know. But guess what? He doesn't need that. He does not need our faith for him to choose to heal somebody. He does that out of his own prerogative, his own will. That has nothing to do with whether somebody believes. We got to separate things here, guys. God doing a flat out miracle and healing someone is his own power and his own prerogative and has nothing to do with us. There's a difference here, guys. That's a completely different story. He has his reasons. He has his reasons for doing a miracle like that. But like I said before, those miracles are rare. And if they happen, they are for very specific reasons. And they're always, always to build faith. Whether it's for other people or for that person. Okay? They're not about, oh, he just loves a person and feels bad because they're blah, 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 and he just wants to heal them. No. There is learning in it. Learning and building and strengthening faith. Okay? It's all about strengthening faith. Okay? That's the point he's making this morning. Okay. I keep kind of going off my notes here, and I don't want to forget. But that's Holy Spirit. He's just taking me through this. So praise Jesus. Lord, have your way. Glory to God. Okay. So I even wrote in here, it doesn't really sound like it lines up with the Word of God, does it? That's because Churchland, in their misinterpretations and wrong teachings, has brainwashed believers to see things through man's eyes, instead of seeing it through the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can say amen and amen to that. Glory to God. Okay. Now, how many out there believe they have physical things going on with their bodies and they're praying and praying and praying for God to heal them? Too many to count, right? Yeah. Way too many to count. And this morning, the Lord made it clear to me why. We have been taught wrong. Some of these same people have been, now listen, I want you to understand, some of the same people who've been praying this, they've been healed in the past. God has miraculously healed them, maybe even multiple times. He may have healed them multiple times miraculously, right? But again, it's faith building. It's to build faith, to help them get more mature in faith. Okay. Now, so because the problem is for those who have been healed before, miraculously, even multiple times, it like makes them think that's just how it's done. Well, that's how God heals, because he healed me like that before. But that was only to build their faith, to help them mature in their faith. But they're not understanding that. Okay. But again, they're missing the point. Again, it's all about their faith. In church land, they teach people that, oh, you have to have enough faith for God to heal you. And then you might hear one of them say, oh, well, you know, if you've been prayed over and you're not healed yet, well, you know, maybe the person who prayed for you didn't have enough faith. Both of these statements are not only ridiculous, but totally not true. Okay. It's not the faith in whether God can perform a miracle and simply do a healing or deliverance. That's not even close to the point. All that faith is doing is, these people who are thinking that way, all that faith, all they're doing is believing that he's God. That's it. They're saying, oh, God can do a miracle. Okay, that's all they're saying. All right, great. We know that God can do a miracle. Okay? And if you're reading this, I would hope you believe in God. And I would hope that you know he can do a miracle. That's kind of expected if you're walking with Jesus. Even if you're a baby Christian, that's expected that he can do a miracle, right? Because you believe the word of God, right? Okay. But see, that's not the point of faith. Okay. Something that you don't hear very often in church land, or even in many, many just regular Christian ministries in general out there, is that faith is a responsibility as a follower of Jesus Christ. Boy, you don't hear that, do you? That's not a word we hear very much as a follower of Jesus, is it? Faith is a responsibility. It's expected of us. It's expected to grow stronger in faith. That is our responsibility as a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, without growing in faith, you're not going to have a chance at full maturity. None of us will. If we're not growing and we're not standing in faith, there's no chance that we're going to reach full maturity, I can tell you right now. See, you got to understand that all of us, everybody, starts with baby faith. They're a baby Christian, baby faith. Baby faith gets us saved. Baby faith helps us to start reading the Word of God and helps us begin our walk with Jesus. But if we never grow, if we never move and grow past that baby faith and its thinking, we're never going to really understand full maturity. Think about a baby. When a mother has her new baby, she has to take care of that baby. She has to hold that baby, nourish that baby, love that baby, teach that baby and help it grow. Well, that's what Jesus does for us. When we first come to him, when we first come to Jesus, he's doing that. He's nourishing us and he's cherishing us and he's teaching us easy, simple ways. This is when he might do one of those miraculous healings or even multiple miraculous healings. He's building our faith. That That's what he's doing. He's being like motherly to us. He's teaching us, and he's being fatherly, however you want to look at that. Because he's both. Understand that Jesus is motherly and fatherly. So let's not get religious here. Okay. So he wants to teach us as his little children. Okay. Now, the longer we walk with him, it is expected of us to grow deeper in understanding. It is expected of us to seek him more, to dive deeper into his word, and to understand what walk by faith and not by sight really means. He expects us to move out of baby faith. He doesn't want us walking with baby faith forever here, guys. He doesn't want us walking around saying, oh, I believe that you can perform a miracle because you want to, Lord. I know that you can just touch me and it's all gone. He wants us to stand in knowing and believing that that miracle's already done. That by his stripes 2,000 years ago, we are already healed. That's what he expects. That's what our responsibility is. That's the point he's making today. See, he already did all this on the cross. We need to say, there is absolutely nothing wrong with me because by his stripes I am already healed. The enemy's a liar. I do not believe what I see. And just like Matthew 5:48 tells us, I know I am perfect as Jesus is perfect. This is how a mature son or daughter of God needs to walk and live through their faith in Jesus Christ. This is mature faith. God expects more out of us walking in maturity than someone walking in baby faith. The more mature our walk gets, the more responsible in faith we need to be, and the more God expects from our faith. When we're young and still walking in that baby faith, he'll give us those miracles and healings, but he's not doing that so that we stay in that baby faith. He's doing that to help us along and give us the desire to grow stronger in that faith so that we are able to stand in full mature faith, knowing that we don't even need the healing in the first place because it's simply the enemy lying to us to steal that full mature faith. So our job is to have the faith to know that we are perfect as Jesus is perfect, and that by his stripes we are already completely healed. What we need to understand and accept is that the enemy has simply been lying to us our entire lives because he didn't want us to gain that mature faith in Jesus Christ. He wanted to kill, steal, and destroy before it even started. So as mature followers of Jesus Christ, walking in mature faith in him, we must come to the understanding that it's not the enemy that puts any lying manifestations on us. It's actually applying our own faith in the wrong place, believing a lie that causes those manifestations, those lying manifestations. That's why it's illusion. Because the person believed wrong. They believed the lie. So, if a child of God is walking in that mature faith, because they are responsible for their own walk and their own faith in him. The Lord is not going to just jump in and perform a miracle like he may have in the past, because he knows a mature follower of Jesus Christ with mature faith knows better. Luke 12:48 tells us, to whom much is given, much is required. The more mature faith they have, the more responsibility they have for that faith. We must understand that just like life and death is in the power of the tongue, faith can be applied to life or misapplied to death. Someone can either choose to walk by faith, stand in the fact that they are already perfect by his stripes and what Jesus did on the cross, and continue to endure in that faith no matter what they see. Or they can choose to misapply their faith instead to what they see, believe the lies of the enemy, and believe what they're whispering, what the enemy's whispering, walk in those lies, speak those lies, believe those lies, and let me tell you something, those lies will absolutely manifest, and they will not go away until or if that child of God changes their thinking and reapplies their faith to the truth that by his stripes we are perfect as Jesus is perfect. Now, here's the crucial part that the Lord is emphasizing to me this morning. This is the important part. Listen, very important. The speed, once a person is really truly walking in knowing who they are in Jesus Christ, walking in their mature faith that by his stripes they're already healed, there is absolutely nothing wrong, and they are perfect as Jesus is perfect. So once they're in the right frame of faith, in the right line of thinking within their mature faith, okay? The speed in which those lying manifestations dissipate, this is the important part, depends on where each person is in their maturity in faith. If the lying manifestations look like they're still there, if the illusion of those manifestations seems to look like it's hanging around, then we need to continue. We need to endure in our mature faith, no matter what it looks like or feels like. And that no matter what, we don't believe what we see. Let me say that again. No matter what, we don't believe what we see. And we continue knowing that we are perfect as Jesus is perfect. This is what Jesus wanted me to bring across to you all this morning. That it's up to the mature follower of Jesus Christ, walking in mature faith, to continue to stand in knowing that by Jesus' stripes, they are already perfect as Jesus is perfect, and that anything else are simply lies of the enemy. And he wants us to understand, if the illusion of the lying manifestations seem to keep hanging around, it's because it's still strengthening their faith. Keep in mind, it's not God that is preventing that lying manifestation from leaving. It's the fact that the person who originally misapplied that faith to the lie has now stepped into the truth. They're getting their faith strengthened through that walk, and their faith, the mature faith in Jesus Christ. And the stronger they get in faith, the more the garbage lies are going to fade. They're going to fade. But it's standing in that faith no matter what they see. No matter what they see. Praise Jesus. This is what the Lord wanted me to get across. If anybody has any questions about this or wants more links or understanding on this, please pop over an email at graftedinthevine222@gmail.com. But as we always say, if we're still here and we haven't been transfigured yet, we'll be back as the Lord leads. Bye-bye, guys.